Bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, declaring that you indeed are alive. Lord, you died on this cross. You were buried and you were raised on the third day, and you then ascended to the Father on high. You are alive. You rule. You reign. You make your enemies a footstool. You come to crush the head of the enemy, to take away sin, to destroy his works. Lord, you have come to do a work in our lives. You come to do a work in this hour. And I ask in Jesus' name, Lord, that we would just forget right now about all the things that are happening around us. We open the Word today, and the Word would feed us, the Word would bless us, the Word would move through us, that we would go from this place to believe it, to go from this place to obey it, to see the change of God in our own lives. I thank you for the perfect work of the Word of God today, what we call the Bible, that we call Scripture. We want to thank you, Father, for what you will do. We ask this in Jesus' name, and for his glory and his sake, amen and amen. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 1. You know, all Scripture, all history of the Lord, his history, is all about movements. When you think about God moving in men's lives and women's lives, it's all about a movement. When you think about God coming and becoming flesh and dwelling among us, right? That was a movement from heaven as Jesus comes that we are celebrating today. But then we also we're able to sing about not only that, but the death, burial, and resurrection. That's a movement of God, where Jesus dies on a cross, moved to a tomb, where he is three days, and then he's moved again, right out of the tomb to be resurrected unto life. It's about a movement. And then again, 40 days later, he moves back to heaven where he sits on his throne ruling and reigning. It's a very awesome movement of God. And he does the same kind of movements in our lives. When you came to Christ, you died. That was a movement. You died to self. You died to sin. You began dealing with things in your life, right? Jesus comes into your life, which is a great movement of God. Amen. It's all about a movement. And then we died and we were buried. Our old self was buried and our new self was raised to walk in newness of life. Celebrate that through the baptism. It's about a movement of God from something where we were to where we are headed. It's all laced in Scripture. When you think about it in the Christmas story, I just see these incredible movements of God. For instance, in a moment, we're going to see the movement of an old priest from doubt to faith. In Mary, we're going to see that she receives a word and she's going to move to faith. And then we see in Joseph from faith to obedience. And we see in the wise man from obedience to being truly wise in this life. It's all about a movement. It's all about the movement of God in your life. And I want to ask the question, because it's an everyday thing where God wants to move in your life to take you from where you are to where you ought to be in this life. As a man, as a woman, as a son, as a daughter, as a husband and wife, as a mom and a dad, in a marriage, in every area of your life, God's moving to do something significant in your life. Are you aware of that? Do you have this faith in that I'm not to stay where I'm at, because it's all about the movements of God in my life. From glory to glory is what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, that we've all been set free by this great God so that we might move from glory to glory into the image of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's all about movements. And what I want to share with you over the next couple of weeks are the movements of the incredible movements of Christmas, the incredible movements of this first Christmas. And so that's the first thing I'll just say. When you look at Christmas, the Christmas story, it's incredible. It is incredible. The word incredible in the English language means to be so implausible that it elicits disbelief. I can't believe this. It's so extraordinary as to seem impossible, and it seems impossible because it is impossible from man's perspective. What God does and did and continues to do is an utter impossibility from human effort. It can't be done. You can't save yourself. You can't give yourself spiritual gifts. gifts. You can't repent. You can't do anything without the power of God. It's absolutely incredible. Wild, so to speak. It's just wild. And I want to tell you, this story is incredibly wild when you think about the characters of this passage of Scripture. And so Luke is writing about movements and what God wants to do in our lives through the Son of Man, Jesus. And he's writing an account to a guy named Theophilus. He's examined it from eyewitnesses of Jesus. I don't know, maybe he spoke to some shepherds. I know that he could have spoken to Jesus's mama. I know that there's a whole lot of people that saw what they saw from the birth of Jesus to the death, burial, resurrection, and the ascension. And so he has this account, and he starts this account with the things happening around Christ's birth. And so in verse 5, it says, in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abiah. He had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. That means advanced in years. That's what that means in the literal, okay? It means old. It means you're old now. You're past menopause. You cannot have babies, okay? Advanced in years. And it happens while the priest, Zacharias, is performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing to the right of the altar of incense. And Zacharias was first troubled when he saw the angel, and then fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And you will give him the name John, and you'll have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he'll turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit of power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said to the angel, "How will I know this for certain? For I am old man, my wife is advanced in years." And the angel said to him, "I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God. I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time." When the people were waiting for Zacharias and were wondering at his delay in the temple, but when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he'd seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them, and he remained mute. And when the days of his priestly service were ended, he went back home. And after these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant, and she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with me with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men." I don't know about you, but this is just incredible stuff. I mean, when you think about it, an angel appearing to a priest. Okay, first of all, an angel appearing is incredible, right? But it's just not that. He's appearing after 400 years of silence. I mean, the very last thing we hear in the Old Testament is the prophet Malachi in chapter 4. I mean, it's the last word. It becomes silent for 400 years. Is Scripture being written? Yes, it's been written. Can people still read the word? Yes.
But what's happening is there's just this silence going on. The last thing that Malachi says, it's some of the last passages of Scripture in the Old Testament. Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the great coming and great and terrible day of the Lord, and he'll restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I'll not come and smite the land with a curse. 400 years later, an archangel named Gabriel, messenger of God, appears to an old man way past the opportunity to have children. And he appears to him, and God is speaking. And what does God do? God comes and he speaks what? I want to say this. It's very important. He speaks words that are humanly impossible to accomplish. That's what's so amazing and so incredible about the Word of God and what God comes to do in our lives. The very impossible things that we could never, ever do on our own. Matter of fact, many of us have tried to do it on our own. We've tried to be good. We've tried to repent. We've tried to have influence. We've tried those things. We've tried to save ourselves by doing things that we think we ought to do to merit the favor of God. But it's an utter impossibility. And that's what the Word is. It's an utter impossibility. Why? Why is that? Because if it was possible, you wouldn't need faith. You wouldn't need to believe. Because you're seeing it. Or you saw it. Or you did it. And you did it on your own. It's impossible. And here is the incredible word. Here's the incredible, amazing thing out of this world. An angel of God speaking after 400 years of silence. To who? To an old man and an old lady. Sorry. I'm becoming an old man, so I can say that with a lot more grace. It's the truth. Shows up in the temple. Not in the Holy of Holies. He's just burning incense, okay? And he's doing this priestly duty, which is, I mean, a very, very important thing for someone to be chosen by lot to do this. But I'm just going to tell you, in the sovereign movement of God orchestrates this whole story. And this priest, he by lot goes into this temple, and there burning the incense, this angel comes. And who is he? Look at verse 5. He's Zacharias. He's of the division of Abihai. He has a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So they're both have a priestly line with them, okay? Both sides of John's family are priestly lines from Levi, okay? And the scripture says that these folks were both, watch, righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both advanced in years. So notice a couple of things, priestly heritage, but also the whole thought they were righteous in the sight of God. They kept the way of the Lord. And they're intercessors. That's what priests do. They intercede for people. And but I want to talk just a moment about the righteousness that God sees in them. God declares them. The angel declares them both righteous. Well, how did they get that? What I want to suggest to you is the only way you can get it. And that's through faith. It's the only way a man is righteous, a woman is righteous before God. It is through faith in this great word of God, this great movement of God. That's the only way you're ever declared righteous. We see it in Abraham. We see it in Noah. We see it in a whole lot of different people. What do? They believe. They walk by faith, and God declared them righteous before God. So whenever you see in the Old Testament, these folks are named as righteous people, They are righteous only by faith, because that's what Scripture says. You can only be righteous by faith. Now, that's a declaration. That is something that God declares you, reckons you when you believe. When you first believed, He reckoned you as righteous before God. Where you look at your body and you realize, well, or my lifestyle, and I think, man, I'm not perfect. I'm not righteous. But it's a faith thing where God declares you righteous before Him by your faith in who He is and the very impossible things He says He's going to do in your life and my life. And so this is this older couple, and they have no children. And what's incredible is after 400 years of no prophetic word, it's just nothing from God. God shows up with something. And that's what God always does. Always shows up with something for every one of us in this life. And so the Scripture says that they were old and they were advanced in years. And what I want to say this is, I think what's also incredible, an angel of God speaking over after 400 years of silence, a powerful answer from a long distant, long ago prayer. Notice what he says. He says, do not, look at verse 13. Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard. What petition is that? That your wife is going to have a baby. I forgot about that petition. We prayed it in our late teens. We prayed it in our 20s. We prayed for it in our 30s. We prayed for it in our 40s. And then sometime in the 50s, she started changing. And we stopped praying. We stopped asking because it was far way past any kind of answer that God could ever do. So they thought. What I'm saying is we never stop praying. We never stop asking. We never stop seeking. Never. We continue to ask God to do significant things in our lives, things that seem so impossible, things that seem so incredible that we, if it happened, we would just still be scratching our head in unbelief. That's what it means for something incredible to happen in our lives. And God does that. He does that. He takes the seemingly insignificant things and seemingly insignificant places and insignificant folks, and He does something great with them. And He wants to do that for you and for me. And it's all by this simple faith in who He is. And that's why we say, read your word, read the Bible, read Scripture, learn who this God is and what He has promised for you, so you can read it and believe it and walk in it and see God fulfill it in your life and in our church. That's what God wants to do, the utter impossibility. And that's what this is. Your petition has been heard. What are the things? What are the things in my life that seem so impossible, that seem so incredibly impossible, that I've got to truly, truly have this great, great faith in Him? What is the thing that you're facing? What is the thing that you're moving toward that's hard, that's difficult, that does seem so impossible? Could this great God want to speak to you and speak into you for it? Absolutely. Absolutely He wants to do that. That's what He does. That's what He did when He saved you. That's when you did, when you renewed your heart toward Him, whenever you did that. He's wanting to move us from doubt to faith. Now, I want you to say something about Zacharias, because we could give him a very hard time, right? He's already been declared righteous. He's just having some problems believing right now. That's why we call it from doubt to faith. You're going to answer what? You're going to do what? Your wife, Elizabeth, after all these years, is going to have an answered prayer, and you're going to have a baby. Wait a minute. We should be great-grandchildren by now, let alone great-grandparents, instead of let alone parents right now. Lord, how is this going to happen? How will you do this? But wait, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let me tell you about this boy. That's as incredible as anything. Because this boy of theirs has purpose and has a specific assignment that's only going to last about 6 months. And I want you to notice what he says about this baby. He says in verse 13, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. And you're going to do this. Watch. You're going to have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. He is going to be great in the sight of the Lord. And then he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he's going to be the one to turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. And it's he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to have this incredible ministry to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Do you see the movement here? Do you see the movement of God? He is going to turn what? The hearts of the fathers back to the children, the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous. These are the movements of God. This is what he's going to do. And what I want to say about this is it's so important, I mean, as your pastor to say this, that the scripture says that among men, there's no one greater than John the Baptist. But when you get to the kingdom, he's the least. Wow. What does that say? That says just to me, it says just as John is used by God and going to be used by him to give this incredible, incredible witness to this great, awesome God, this is going to be your purpose and my purpose. To simply give witness to this great God. Now, I want to say this because I think that if I can really be honest with you, is that I thought about these verses of scripture when my son, my daughter, and my daughter were born. There's just something incredible about a baby that brings such great hope, especially if you're a believer, especially if you're a sold-out believer, which I don't think there's anything that you can be but a sold-out believer. That there's this incredible promise that what our children do is they bring great joy and gladness. They're great in the sight of God. Why can't we pray that for our sons and daughters? Great, oh God, would you cause them to be great in the sight of God? Oh God, would they be controlled by the Holy Spirit of the living God? And that's why he says, listen, he's going to be great in the sight of the Lord, and he's going to drink no wine or liquor, but he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? It means that this man, when he grows up, will not be controlled by any outside substance other than the Holy Spirit of the living God. Don't you want that for your children? Do you want them under the influence of any other kind of product in this world? Under the influence? Listen, what he says is he's going to be controlled by that. Nothing else but that. That the Spirit of God will control him. You know, I think that's very important, don't you? Because we're really talking about a man that's going to be born, okay? Or a boy that's going to be born 6 months before Jesus, Messiah, is born. And he's got this purpose. And like I said earlier, it's just 6 months. And then he's going to lose his head at 30 years old. Because he has a purpose for God. And it doesn't matter if it's 6 months, 6 years, 60 years. The question is, are we going to live the purposes of God out in our lives? Because I got to ask the question. This is not just about a baby bringing great joy. This is about men and women in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s bringing people great joy. And that's the question I ask when I ask myself, do I bring joy to my people? Do I bring joy to my children? Do I bring joy to my wife? Do I bring joy and gladness? Or do people hate to see me coming? It's the witness of John. the forerunner. Absolutely, totally predicted that's in Malachi chapter 4 and in some passages in Isaiah. He's going to bring great joy and gladness. He is going to be great in the sight of God. He will be controlled by the Holy Spirit. His ministry is going to have great impact. He's the one, Zacharias. He's the one. Your boy is the one that's going to go before the Lord. But why can't we hold our babies and say the same kind of stuff? Oh God, may this baby, may this son go before you. May he give incredible witness to you, because we, his parents, see such great value in the kingdom of heaven as opposed to the kingdom of this world. And he is, the son of theirs, is going to stand before kings, and he's going to rebuke a king for his sin, and he's going to lose his head over it. But he's going to be used by God. Oh, listen, folks. Every son of ours, every daughter of ours, whether they are babies in the nursery or babies on the, or kids on the square or kids in here or kids that are 60 and 70 years old now, there's this great promise that God wants to use you for the glory of God, to simply point to this great God who forgives. And I point to him not by just saying, hey, he'll forgive you. No, I point to him because I'm a forgiver now. He'll give you peace. Why? Because I'm no longer walking in chaos in my life. My marriage is no longer chaos. My kids are no longer chaos. We come to this place to say, oh God, would you do this work in our day, in our time, in our community, so that people can see the movement of God from becoming lost to saved, saved to growing, from in bondage to freedom, the movement of God. I mean, this is the purpose of Jesus, to bring the movements of God into your life. And church, are you seeing that happen in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in your children, in your grandchildren? And what will it take for you to dream a dream about your family by looking at Zacharias's and Elizabeth's family, on who they were and who they would be as parents and who this son would be great in the sight of God? Amen? Let's pray that. Let's pray the kingdom of God into the places where God is. Because I'm telling you right now, there's places that God is speaking, but people aren't hearing. And it's still silent after thousands of years. And would God raise us up as evangelists and gifted of God with great compassion and mercy to bring the light of this great God and Savior to the world? This is what this is about. You say, that's just too incredible. No, it's not. We can teach our children how to share faith and have a burden for the lost, and they can start witnessing at 8, 9, and 10. They could do that. They could do that. And the question, though, is what value is that to you? How high of a value? Is it more value to you in your heart than the sports they're involved in? Or the education that you want to give them? Think about it. What do I value and what do I want my children to become? And so this is the promise. This is an incredible promise about an incredible family, an incredible son. And you know what's so incredible about it? Jesus hasn't died yet. And Jesus hasn't sent the Spirit yet. Imagine if God does this pre-cross, burial and resurrection, and Pentecost. Imagine what he can do in a place like this, in people like us. Oh, is there something that would stir in your heart today that would say, I'm not content where I'm at spiritually. I'm not content where I am as a husband, a wife, a husband, a dad, a mom. I'm not content where I'm at in this relationship with Jesus, because I want to tell you, that kind of discontentment is a great discontentment, because it'll move you with the movement of God to the next places that God wants you to be. You might say, be here today, say, well, it's just too late for us. I don't care if your kids are 60 years old and you're in your 80s. It is never, ever too late for God to do the impossible in any man or woman's life. Tweet that. Well, don't, but you know what I mean. Tweet something like that. That God would birth within our children this desire. You have 4, 5 of our college students going off to mission over Christmas holidays. My word, folks. We have this opportunity through Shalynn, they've just been coming a couple of years, not even a couple of years, and been baptized and come to be a part, and all of a sudden God's put in her heart, let's invite the community. Well, that's a biblical thought when you give a feast. It's had this great opportunity to invite the community to come see a production that, if you've never seen it, is awesome. It points to Jesus. And then to sit around tables, not with our friends, but with them, and get to know them. Not to stick a track up their nose or their eyes or their face, but just to be witness for this great God who's done so much for you and for me. I mean, that's the kind of discontentment that I think is good. And I want to ask, are you content where you are with Jesus? Are you truly content where you are in this life? Now, I'm not talking about money, and I'm not talking about career, and I'm not talking about career growth and all those. And those are things are fine. But I'm talking about a relationship with God, a relationship with your spouse, a relationship with your children. And what am I going to do to see this influence of us bringing great joy, of us being great in the sight of God, of us being controlled by the Holy Spirit, of ministry going forth and having great impact individually and as corporately as the church? And it's the last thing, what Jesus said 400 years ago through Malachi, Zacharias, he's the one. I'm bursting through the silence with a word of promise. Have you ever had that time where you just felt like God was not speaking? That you thought, where are you, God? And you had this doubt in your life. And then suddenly he broke the silence and he's spoken to your need. And he's spoken to your heart. And he's spoken to your grief. He's spoken to your life and to your loss. He spoke there. He spoke right there. It's what God does to move us to the next thing that God has for you and for me. 400 years of silence broken. A couple of things here. Just by reminder and application, God answers prayer in incredible ways. So ask God for incredible things. Just do it. Second, the word is dark, spiritually deaf. They can't see. They have the mute button on. They can't. It's just on. They can't see, or they're waiting to see. They're waiting to hear. What can I do to pray about that and be the man, to be the woman, to be the family that goes and gives witness? And I just want to say, just like I've been preaching, John's life is your life. So let's point to Jesus. Let's point to him instead of to us and to my stuff and my things and my way. These are the incredible things of Christmas, the movements of God. But there's one other thing. What's incredible is a doubting priest who suddenly becomes a silent old priest. I shared a little bit of this on Wednesday night, just kind of a preview of today's message. But I lost my voice for 3 days a couple of years ago. It was 3 days, and it was miserable. Okay? It was miserable. I mean, I couldn't even talk fast, let alone talk, okay? So, I mean, I just couldn't do it. And yet, these 3 days of just whispering things out of my mouth, and you know how sometimes you do, this is the third day. I mean, is this going to become chronic? No. Is this going to become a silent preacher? Man, talk about worry, talk about a little anxiety. You talk about opening Google and Googling home remedies. What is this? And then my voice came back. I can't imagine doing it 9 months. But that's what happened to this old priest. He doubted, and God said to him, well, he didn't say it. He just took the remote and went. I know some of you are saying, I wish I had that remote to be able to do that, right? Well, don't tell anybody what that means. You're mute. You can't say anything. You can't speak. You can't do your priestly duties. You can't do anything. To me, that's a very incredible thing. A silent priest. But I got to tell you this. I think what's even more incredible is a silent Christian. A silent believer who somehow has Jesus in their heart but says nothing about it. Yeah, I get the thought that our actions are supposed to be louder than words, but that doesn't negate the words. And we're to speak it. We're to share it. We're to share the hope that's in us that we have in Christ. To me, that's a very incredible thing. A very, very incredible thing, a silent believer. This doubting priest becomes a mute priest, and that's incredible to me. So extraordinary that it elicited an unbelief when he came out, and for 9 months he's silent. 9 months. Luke 1:20 says, behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place. Why? Because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in the proper time. Now, you know what I love about this? Is that despite his unbelief and his doubt, God said, I'm still going to do this. And I'm still going to do this through you. Because I think some of us would think, well, I missed that one. Yeah, you might have missed it. But God, like we talked a few weeks ago, this great God gives you gifts and callings that are irrevocable because you never stop following Jesus and God never stops using you. This is the promise of God. This is what God says. This is what God does. And then can you imagine a pregnant old woman? That's incredible. That's absolutely incredible. Go Google the oldest woman. Okay? It's not this. They're going to have some, they've got a few anomalies out there through history, but not like this. Not like Sarah and Abraham. The impossible promise that I'm giving you, that the impossible promise, a biological impossibility that says your wife is going to have a baby. Utter impossible. Oh, yes, from your view, my view, but not from God's. One last thing that I think is so incredible. Next week we'll be looking at from the word to faith, okay? A word to faith in Mary's life. From obscurity to someone who's known throughout the last 2,000 years. Movements of God. But Mary gets pregnant in a very supernatural way. We call it the virgin birth. And if I want you to look at verse 39, and we'll finish with this morning. At this time, Mary arose after the angel appeared to her. She's pregnant. Went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah. Entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby, that's John, 6 months old in the womb, okay, leaps in her womb. And Elizabeth was immediately filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. How has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord, the mother of my Lord would come to me. For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she, watch, who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. Here's the incredible thought that we close with today, that I leave you with. The incredible thought that a month-old baby in the womb sees a one-week-old baby in the womb and rejoices by leaping in Elizabeth's womb. If that doesn't do something for this whole thought of life starting at conception, I don't know what else is. It's in the Word. A one-week-old baby in the womb rejoices with a six-month or a six-month-old baby in the womb rejoices when the one-week baby in the womb enters the room still in his mother's womb. This is life. It's incredible that John the Baptist, 6 months in the womb, is already doing his thing. Already carrying on his excitement. 6 months in the womb. That's incredible to me. And it ought to give us pause in this country and in this world of how many babies are killed in the womb. It ought to give us pause. Because this is an incredible, incredible, wild, awesome thought. The mother of my Lord has come to me. Well, how old is the Lord? 1 week in the womb. 1 week in the womb. The mother of her Lord. The mother of her Lord is 1 week in the womb. Isn't that incredible? I hope that somehow, some way, that if you're struggling with doubt today, that you'd stop disbelieving but believe in the greatness of our God. Some of you, because of life's story, your life story, or the life stuff that's been going on in your life, some of you have a really hard time wondering if God really loves you. But I want to tell you, this great God loves you. He knows your need. He knows where you are. He knows where you've been. But what's great, he has a plan to know where you're going. Amen. For the next movement of God in your life. Whatever you're suffering with, whatever you're hurting with, whatever you're struggling with, let's believe in this movement of God from doubt to unbelief. There's this great story in Scripture. It's in the end of your notes. It's about this doubting Thomas. When Jesus comes, he's not there the first time after he's revealing himself after the resurrection. And he says, I'm not going to believe him until I put my fingers in his wounds. I'm not going to do that. And then a little bit later, he shows up. And he points to Thomas and he says, hey, come here. Put your hand in my hand. Put your hand in my side. And this is what he says. And do not be unbelieving, but be believing. Let's go from this place today believing our great God with these impossible promises for you and for me. Let's see a movement of God from doubt to faith about whatever we're doubting and whatever we're struggling with. Bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? And while we're praying, just stand with me. Would you do that? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this incredible word today, this incredible scripture. I thank you that on December 1st, we got to read this together. We got to read this together. As we move through the word, as we move through Luke, this December. And I ask God that this word would have its perfect result in our lives, that you would move in a mighty, mighty way. And I pray that the movement of God would be real this day. Well, I thank you for the offering, Lord, that's being taken at the doors this morning. I want to pray that you'd bless it, Lord, like you have been blessing us. I thank you so much for the gift of givers today. And that, Father, that those are gifts, that these folks are gifts today of you. And I thank you how they give sacrificially, and I thank you how they do these things. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd bless our time tonight, where we call it our annual meeting, our annual gathering. I pray, God, that you would bless it, and that, Father, that we'd not miss it tonight. Come, Lord, Come, Lord, visit us with this saving, great faith. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The Lord bless you, keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance towards you. Lord, be gracious to you. May he give you peace, his peace, from the Prince of Peace, Jesus. Amen and amen.